Sometimes we say amen because we agree with what's just been said or sung. Sometimes we say amen in anticipation. May it be so, right? May it be so. And I think I feel like saying amen in both ways today to all these songs that we have sung. Thank you for singing along. So hope, and anyone third grade and under who would like to go with hope, thank you, Hope, for leading and singing with me. And guess what? I didn't get fired. I get to preach again. I did tell Don that we didn't have open worship last Sunday, and he still decided to let me preach again. So we talked, I think it was about Tuesday, and he was already starting to feel a lot better, he and Mary. But, you know, they were consulting the CDC guidelines, and if you've had COVID or have COVID, when is a good time to come back? And felt like Sunday was still pretty borderline, and so I encouraged him. I said, Don, give me another chance, please. And so he fell for it, and he agreed. And I said, actually, you know, before we talked, I said, Don, actually, I've been thinking there might be a part two. There might be a part two to what I shared last time, because I felt like I didn't land the plane very well last Sunday. There was so much that we did go over that I thought was helpful to me and hopefully to you, but it just seemed like there was more that could be brought out, and so that's what we're going to do. This is part two. This is part two of So I'm Sending You. So there's a few of you who weren't here last week, and we'll just briefly go over a few of the things that we talked about. We'll go to the next slide here, and this was the main passage that we focused on. So this is the passage of Jesus meeting with his apostles on Sunday night of the resurrection day, okay? And we took some time to kind of try to imagine what that must have been like, especially for the apostles, for the disciples, what it must have been like to have Jesus show up among them the way that he did. And so, but let's go ahead and read those verses. I mean, you probably read them for yourself by now. But it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So after we unpacked that for a little while, we spent a minute or two looking at this picture. And I said to those who were here last week, there's a whole bunch of pictures out there on the internet of, you know, different artists trying to imagine what it must have been like. And I'm sure none of them are perfect, including this one. But we took some time just to look at the expressions on the faces of the disciples as they were looking at Jesus. He was showing them his wounds and his side. And do you remember some of the responses, some of the things that we said last Sunday? What are some of the ones that you're remembering? Surprise. Surely there was some surprise. Jesus just showed up, right? In a room that was locked. What else do you remember? Or something else that comes to mind? Maybe some shock. This was the least thing that they expected. Although they'd heard rumors, right, during that same day that Jesus was alive and that he'd met with some of the women and also with Peter. But still, some shock. Hope. Yeah, that was a word that was brought out. Hope. And then we went on to read what the Gospel of John says they actually felt. And that's the next verse. The disciples, it says, were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I would like for us today to spend a little bit more time on that one, on overjoyed. Not just a little bit happy, right? Not just a little bit of joy. They were overjoyed to see Jesus. In spite of whatever shock or surprise. It might have been among them. The overall response was joy, and lots of it. So, why were they so glad to see Jesus? Why do you think they were so glad to see Jesus? Let's think about that. And feel free to respond. Their future was, what do you mean by that, Meredith? Their future was sealed.
Because they knew.
Okay, so he had made some promises before he died. And then they knew that those promises were coming true. It was, the promises were sealed, so to speak. Their future was sealed. Yeah. Yeah.
They had been under joy.
Okay. So Phil is saying they were underjoyed before this moment. They were not expecting this. They were not expecting this. And disappointed in the way things had turned out. Disappointed that Jesus wound up killed. Disappointed in their own response too, in their own behavior up until this point in time. Disappointment turns to joy though. Turns to joy in this moment. Wow.
The way it felt for you, it's like losing a parent. It was
right. Parent. Yeah. They had spent so much time. How many years had they spent with Jesus up until all this? At least three, right? At least 3 years. That's a long time to be hanging out constantly with someone. And when they lost Jesus, it's like they probably felt like they lost everything, right? And now for him to be there among them, he's here again. He's here again. So much joy. So much reassurance that this was all not for nothing, right? Yes. Okay. We could go on. But I'm promising you some quiet time today. I'm going to try my best. Why were they so glad to see Jesus? And to me, there's at least two facts that I think are really prominent in the reasons for their joy. The next slide, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Wow. Wow, Jesus is alive. And then the next one, and he is with us. He is with us right now in this room. You know, there have been a great number of great people in the history of the world who did so many beautiful things, who died, right? And many of them died violently, correct? And they did not come back to life, but we still remember them, right? We still remember them. I'm thinking of people like Abraham Lincoln, for example, or Martin Luther King Jr., or others. There's many others that we could think of who did really important things, and yet they died, and they've not come back to life. What if the same thing had happened to Jesus? What if he had stayed dead? What would today look like for us? How do you think the history of the world might be different? These are big, big questions. I'm not necessarily asking you to answer them right now, but to reflect. What if Jesus had stayed dead? How would the history of the world be different? And would we even be here today? You know, maybe we'd have a holiday, right? Maybe we'd hang on to Easter and we could still celebrate Easter the day he died. Although we'd have to call it something else, right? The holiday, maybe Jesus Day, I don't know. Maybe we could hang on to one holiday and remember what had happened and it was important. And it had ramifications in history, but I don't think history would be the same, right? If Jesus had not come back from the dead. I think that's worth pondering. That's worth thinking about. What difference would it make if Jesus was still dead? But let's keep going. Then we moved on and we looked at this verse because Jesus didn't just show up for some show and tell, right? He also gave them something to do. He said, first of all, peace be with you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. There's a job for them to do. There's a job for us to do. So, we ask the question, let's go to the next one. What does Jesus mean when he says, I'm sending you? And I showed you these two verses from the Gospel of John. Because I think it's always good to look at the larger context of the same book where these words are given to us to see if there's anything in the rest of the gospel that can help shed light on what this means. And so we looked at these two. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then in talking with Phil last Sunday after service, he reminded me of the verse that comes before it, John 3:16, that goes in harmony with it. I think this is a verse you probably know. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yeah. Yes, thank you. So, Jesus was sent into the world to bring good news. Good news about the love of the Father for everyone. And now he is sending us into the world to do the same thing. And that verse in John 17:18 just confirms where it is that we're being sent, right? This is Jesus praying to his Father, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So we are being sent into the world. All right. Now, let's go to the next slide. Some things to remember as we go into the world. And to me, this would be the first. He is alive, and he is with us. He is alive, and he is with us. This is not the sort of commandment that he gave us to go out into the world, and where he's saying, okay, good luck. You know, hope it goes well for you. No, he's committed himself to going with us as we go out into the world. He is with us. And he said as much in Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew, the very last verse, where he says, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he's not asking us to do something that he himself is not willing to help or be a part of. He is with us, and he is alive. Let's go to the next. Jesus loves everyone that we come into contact with. And you'll see in caps, everyone. Jesus loves everyone that we come in contact with. And when we look at his life and ministry in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see how true that is, right? We see, even when he calls the Pharisees a brood of vipers, that doesn't sound very loving, does it? But what if he was saying that to them with tears in his eyes? You know? I tend to think he had a very stern look when he said those words. But what if he was saying that to try to reach them, to try to get them to wake up? Jesus loves everyone, even Pharisees, even people who don't deserve it, even people who reject him. He loves everyone. So I think that's important for us to remember as we go out into the world, as we're sent out into the world, that Jesus loves everyone. And then this one. We take Jesus' peace with us and pass it on whenever and wherever we have the opportunity to do so. Remember, Jesus said in that locked room, peace be with you. And he said it more than once. Peace be with you. It's like he was passing on his peace to his disciples, his apostles, because he knew they would need it as they went into the world. He gives his peace to us and we take it out into the world. I want to unpack this a little bit before we have some open worship time. Let's go to the next slide. What does the Lord's peace look like? And I'm not going to unpack all this, because this would probably make a good sermon series. There's a whole lot here, but I just want to give you the big picture quickly. That according to the Old and New Testaments, the peace of God is at least four-dimensional. It has to do with peace with God himself, peace with myself, peace with those around me, and even peace with creation. This is so huge. This is the whole concept of shalom from the Old Testament on into the New Testament. Shalom and peace. Wow. That's the kind of peace that God is giving us to take into the world. Next. But again, I think it's good to look at the same gospel where Jesus is giving this command to see how does he define peace? What does peace mean in the Gospel of John? And there are two verses, I think, that are very helpful here. Peace I leave with you, he says. And he's speaking to his disciples. This is before he is crucified. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. When Jesus says, I do not give to you as the world gives, how does the world give? With expectations. How else does the world give? Sometimes words without action, right? It can be pretty empty, can't it? So I do not give this peace as the world gives peace. No. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Sometimes to arrive at a definition of a word, you look at the opposites. And you can see that in this verse. What is the opposite of peace? Hearts that are troubled, right? Hearts that are troubled, hearts that are afraid, fear. And then John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. We will have trouble. We do have trouble, right? We do have trouble. But take heart, he says. Take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So what does peace mean in this verse? Well, it means that we only really find it in him, right? We only find it in Jesus. And it's a good thing he's with us, right? It's a good thing he's with us, because without him, we would not have it. We would not have it. And that's why we can take heart, even in the midst of trouble. We can take heart when we remember that he is with us, and he will give us everything we need to go through this situation. And then I can't help but bring it in, this verse, the next one. Because to me, this is so practical. This is like steps towards receiving this peace that Jesus gives. And this is something I try to put into practice almost every day. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So in my life, and in the responsibilities that I carry at home, or that I carry with Evangelical Friends Mission, When I feel anxious, and that's sometimes almost every day, to be honest, this is where I have to go. This is where this really helps me to convert those concerns, those worries that I have, to convert them into prayer. Make them prayer requests and start praying. And to remember to give thanks. To remember to give thanks ahead of time. Lord, I know that you're hearing me. Lord, I know that you know all about this situation. Lord, I know I can't handle it all by myself. Lord, I give this to you. Thank you. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for taking this concern. Thank you for being with me in the middle of it. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, helps to guard both my heart and also my mind. To me, this is a beautiful promise. And sometimes it lasts longer than others, so I have to go back and repeat the process, right? But the thing is to keep looking to Jesus, because this peace is only found in him, and he is with me, he is with you. And we can have this peace if we ask for it. Sounds so simple, right? Very hard to live this way. But the Lord himself is with us to help us through. So, this is where I want us to land in terms of our open worship time this morning, the last slide. Some questions for reflection. And I'm going to encourage you just to sit for a few minutes with these questions. And we do have an open mic here, but I would encourage you more just to think and reflect and pray around these three questions. One is, think about a time that you experienced the peace of the Lord in your life. And then think about a time when you were able to pass on the peace of Jesus to someone else. And finally, who in your life is Jesus leading you to share his peace with?